If you were here last time, you remember what we did. If you're not, well, then you'll have to go back. I'll kind of summarize. We went last Sunday school. We went through Paul's letters of the letters of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and we looked at all the times that Paul warns Timothy to avoid foolish controversies, myths, endless genealogies, useless debates, and how he is to focus and to pursue truth and righteousness. And there's just this, we see over and over again, Paul exhorting Timothy, don't have anything to do with these things that are useless, foolish, these speculations. But on the other hand, pursue godliness, pursue righteousness. And as we looked at that, we made some applications as we went. But then at the end, I stated that one of the applications that I think is a needed application for us is that of conspiracy theories, and that we are to avoid those things. We are to avoid that kind of getting caught up into those things. And that falls into the application of Paul's warnings. And so today we want to continue with that. And in the next week, we'll also build on that as well. And you'll see how this work all works. So we'll see how fast we work through it today. I hope at the end we have some time for questions. But the first question we want to ask ourselves, well, what are we talking about when we're talking about a conspiracy theory? Are there conspiracies? What are we referring to here? And that's really a good question to begin with, because there's actually a lot of inaccurate information of what a conspiracy theory is, right? If you're paying attention in the news, the media and the government can often use the word conspiracy theory as an insult, as a put down, right? And I don't think they've helped us with understanding what a conspiracy theory is, because they use it in a very, very different way. And so anybody who challenges what the media says, anyone who has a different opinion on what's going on compared to the government or what's in your newspaper or on the TV, they're a conspiracy theorist. And that's a term used to insult them, to ridicule those who will disagree with their opinions, right? I'm sure you've seen that in the media. By the way, just bear with me a little bit. My voice is a little bit raspy. I've been fighting a bit of a cold this week, and so I have some water. I have a cough candy if I need to. So just bear with the raspiness. And so often the word conspiracy theorist or conspiracy theory is meant to tell somebody they're foolish, they're a simpleton, they're ignorant, they don't know what they're talking about, and they just believe all sorts of wild and crazy things. And really, they really have no relevance in the argument, right? So that doesn't help us when we try to understand what we're talking about when we talk about conspiracy theories. Because So we need to understand that is how the government, how media, how even other people can use that term as just a way to shut down debate and say, just listen to me. And so that doesn't help us as we deal with what is a conspiracy theory. And the other thing is, too, we need to add is that there are real conspiracies, right? We're not saying there are no conspiracies. There are plots. We are right to use wisdom, to use discernment as we listen to people's opinions and through their interpretations of facts and what's going on, right? We acknowledge in a sinful world there are real conspiracies, there's real plots that are going on. Governments often have plotted to conceal information or to accomplish evil purposes. There are powerful organizations that conspire to influence and manipulate other people. That's the reality in our world, right? We live in a sin-torn world. We live in a world where sinful human nature is corrupt. It's in all its parts. You know, from that corrupt heart come out lies, deceptions, suppression of the truth, a thirst for power, a thirst for influence. I mean, if you know your own heart, you know how easy it is for you to lie and how deceptive your own heart. In fact, that's what for Jeremiah says, that our hearts are actually the most deceptive things in this world. They deceive us in so many ways. They can deceive us into thinking we're good when we're bad, that it's okay to lie. It's okay to not be completely honest with the truth. And so we understand that conspiracies are going to be a reality in a sinful world. And even the Bible speaks of conspiracies. When we look at the first one, but in some ways it's the major one here, is the Tower of Babel. Think about the Tower of Babel. That was a conspiracy. God had told Noah and his sons after the flood he repeated the command that he had given to Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the earth. So there's increase in number, but move out and to fill the whole earth. And of course, the men after the flood decided, you know what? We're not going to obey God. We're going to defy God. And they conspired together and built a tower, the Tower of Babel. And Genesis 11, verse 4 says, they said, come, let us build us for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And so this is a plot. This is a conspiracy. This is a man trying to disobey God and not do what he says. And you'll notice what God did to that plot, right? How did God hinder it? He confused the languages. Our language is still confused. Yes. And so God confused their languages, so they weren't able to finish the tower, and they were forced to spread out and to separate into different regions and locations. And I think that itself, think about that for a moment, that's important. You know how especially with the Americans, when they set up their own government, they divided up power, right? Because they understood the sinful heart of man. So they divided power among different groups. You have the judges, and you have they had the president, you have the senators, you have and the representatives, the House of Representatives. So you have different levels of power, you have them all separated, and that's a way so that you don't have a dictatorship, authoritarian regime. It's not healthy to have power concentrated in one person. Well, God did the same thing in a massive scale on this earth, right? He put, you know, before this fall into sin, you have mankind able to, or sorry, after the before the Tower of Babel, you have everybody of the same language. They're all able to work together. And God sees that and decides, you know what? We're going to stop this concentrated rebellion, and we're going to spread it out by changing their languages. And that's actually been a way that God has kept, preserved this world from this one world power, right? There's a desire on man in his heart to have a one world government like this, like we see in the Tower of Babel, but God has prevented it. And he's prevented it for all these years by dividing people up by languages, by regions. And so they can't communicate. They can't work together. And that's really how God has continued to keep sinners from a united rebellion against God. Now, I think that's going to end at a certain time, but God is the one who controls when that ends. It's in interest of time, you know, we'll only read a little part. But 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 to 12 talks about the man of lawlessness. And the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist comes. And when Paul's writing about this, he says in verse 6, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then verse 11, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. And so even though right now God is preventing people, rebellious people, from uniting in a global rebellion against him, there will be a time when he won't do that. That's what I take from these verses here, is that God is restraining the man of lawlessness, restraining the Antichrist so that he isn't coming at this time. And when God decides he is going to step on the scene, then that will happen. And really nothing can stop that. And really that not just God will bring about that purpose of bringing the Antichrist into this world, but then God even sends a deluding influence so that people will actually believe the lie that the Antichrist will bring. And so what you can see is this, is that God is totally sovereign over all these things. Nothing is going to happen without God's permission. God's actively working in the world to prevent this from happening before its time. He's actively working in the world to prevent a global united rebellion against him even now. And you can even see that in Psalm 2, where you see, again, a plot or a conspiracy by all mankind to rebel against God. Familiar Psalm, why are the nations in an uproar and the people devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Here's a real conspiracy that every human being has at one time played a part in. That is of rebelling against God and saying, you know what, God, I don't want your laws. I don't want to listen to you. I want to do my own thing. And God's response to that is he laughs. He laughs at our puny attempts to take off his rule and authority. And his response is also to send his son, Jesus Christ, who will come and rule the earth and put down this rebellion. And so that's how God looks at mankind's rebellion against him. Well, now let me give you a chance. What are some other conspiracies or plots that we see in Scripture? Yeah. Haman, yes, Haman and Esther. Well, Esther's obviously not part of the plot, but yeah, Haman plotted to kill all the Jews, right? That's a good one, yeah. But yet, even though that was Haman had permission, he had everything he needed to carry that out. God had Esther and Mordecai in the right place at the right time, so that whole purpose fell apart, and in fact, Haman ended up on his own gallows. What are some other ones? Yeah, that's a good one. I don't have that here, but yes, that's a conspiracy among brothers to get rid of their brother. And what's interesting is at the end, Joseph understands you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So there's a sense where even those little plots like that, God has a good purpose in allowing them to come about. That's a good one. Thank you. Nav, I saw your hand there. Absalom. Yeah, that's a good one too. What's interesting about that is, you know, so Absalom leads a conspiracy. He gains a following, and then he overthrows David over the throne. And so David is forced to hide and to run. What's interesting there is God allows the controversy, the conspiracy, he allows it to come about. He allows it actually to succeed. I think as discipline for David, and probably also other reasons as well, but God allows it to succeed and then eventually puts it down and give him victory to David. Good. Any other ones? Yeah, Barry?
Conspiracy against Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, yeah. So there's Acts 4, 25 to 28, it talks about the Pharisees, the leaders of Israel, the Gentiles, all conspiring together to put Jesus Christ to death, and yet, obviously, God had a ultimate great purpose for doing that, the highest purpose, right? And there was also a conspiracy to suppress the truth of the resurrection, right? You remember the Roman soldiers were bribed to spread lies about that Jesus, the disciples had stolen Jesus' body away, and that's why the tomb was empty. And so there's a conspiracy there that was believed by some people, which really, you see that the truth has triumphed over that conspiracy. But we have the written word, and you still have people believing, obviously, in the gospel. And so that conspiracy may have succeeded with some people, and yet God's truth prevails. What's interesting, I think it was actually MacArthur's sermon where he says that the lie that proves the resurrection, something like that, and how that conspiracy to hide the resurrection only proves the resurrection because of how silly, illogical, and foolish it was. And anybody who examines the story that the soldiers were telling could see the flaws in it. Any other ones that, I saw Michael's hand. Yeah, there's a conspiracy to kill Daniel, for sure, yeah. And in that time, God supernaturally shut the lion's mouth, yeah. Yeah, you had one? Yeah, there's a little conspiracy with two people, a husband and wife conspiring to hide the truth, and yet, again, you see God brings the truth to light, they're disciplined, and the church continues to grow. Any other ones? I have one more on my sheet. Yes, yeah. So Jezebel and Ahab conspired to kill Naboth. That's interesting too. What happens there? I want you to see how does God deal with that conspiracy? Do you remember? What's that? Oh yeah, she's eaten by dogs in the street. Yeah, that's a great story. No one ever forgets that one. Actually, they hide the sin. They plot. They use their power to hide it all. And yet, what happens? God sends a prophet and says, "Actually, Ahab, Jezebel, I've been watching you, and this is what's been going on, and this is what's going to happen, and you're going to be eaten by dogs, and all of that." Yeah, that's a good one as well. Yeah. Uriah, the wife of Bathsheba, or the husband of Bathsheba, yeah. Yeah, and that's, again, same kind of category. David tries to hide his sin, and yet, what does God do? He exposes it through his prophet, Nathan. Barry, yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah. There's a plot there by the Egyptian rulers to keep the Jews, slaves, for sure, yeah. And God, of course, delivers his people. Yeah. He who conspiring to kill King Moab. Yes. That's a sort of a God-inspired plot, yes. And Ehud did succeed, yes. That's sort of in a different category. But yes, that's true. Michael? Yeah, we could spend a little time on that, but I won't. But that's a very good one as well, because, yeah, there was all sorts of conspiracies, and what does Nehemiah do? He takes adequate precautions, and yet he just continues on what he's supposed to do. And, there's a lot of good lessons there, yep. Any other ones before I hit my final one? Yeah. Yeah, you got me. That was my last one. Yeah, so you remember the Pharisees, Sanhedrin, members of them, I guess. They said, you know what, we're not going to eat or drink until we kill Paul. And so they had this conspiracy to hide and lie in wait while Paul was going off to prison or being transferred. And then they were going to kill Paul. And if you remember, it just so happened that Paul's nephew overheard some of this and brought to the attention of Paul, who brought to the attention of the authorities. And so you see again, when God wants to uncover a conspiracy, he's very capable of doing it. He often does it. I think it's very encouraging as you think of all of this, we understand there's the reality of conspiracies in the world, but often the case, it's not us who are uncovering them, it's God who uncovers them. He's in control of them, and he either uses them for his own purposes, or he exposes them when he feels they are thwarting his purposes. And yet we see again the absolute sovereignty of God over all of these things. And we could even bring up the last and final a conspiracy with the Antichrist, where he will deceive men and set up his one world government. And yet again, that only lasts a short time, and Jesus Christ comes and shatters that kingdom and rules over all the earth. And so, yeah, the Bible's full of these plots, these controversies. I already said all this. So, one psalm that comes to mind, I read it this morning, it's a Psalm 140. I thought of preaching it one day, but we'll see what happens. But anyways, I'll read it because I think it gives us a helpful response to the reality of conspiracies. Psalm 140. It says this, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. The proud have hidden a snare for me in cords, and they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. I said to the Lord, 'You are my God.' Give ear, O Lord, to the voice of my supplications. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not promote his evil device, that they may not be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, may the mischief of their lips cover them. May burning coals fall upon them. May they be cast into the fire, into deep pits from which they cannot rise. May a slanderer not be established in the earth. May evil hunt the violent man speedily. I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name, and the upright will dwell in your presence." Now that's really a great psalm, even for this. We could spend all of our time really thinking about that psalm because I think it gives us the proper response. There may be a fear that leads the person to get caught up into conspiracy theories, and I'll probably go into this in more detail next time. But when you look at this psalm, it reminds us that, you know what, there are wicked, violent men out there who are plotting against us, especially as Christians, and they have hidden traps. We can't see them. We don't know everything that's going on. God hasn't revealed all that's going on, and our response isn't that we start dabbling into speculations and coming up with all sorts of stuff, but it's to trust that God is the one who will protect us, that God is the one who will do justice and righteousness, God is the one who will maintain the cause of his afflicted. And so there's a call here to, when we think about all these conspiracies, it can be scary to think about all that's going on in our world, all that people could be plotting, all that we don't know. And yet with that, we can take that all to the Lord and say, you know what, God, you're in control of this. Even though if I can't figure everything out, I know you do, and that you will defend my cause. You will care for us, care for me. And so this is a great psalm when it comes to this. And there's others. I have Psalm 37. Psalm 37 deals with this as well. There's all sorts of psalms. I mean, David himself. I mean, think about all these psalms. David wrote many of them. And this Psalm 140 is actually his. David's life was like he was, there was a continual plot against David to kill him. So he knew a lot about people trying to plot against him and to kill him and to slander him. So then, from there, let's ask the question, well, what are we dealing with when we talk about, if there's conspiracies, what are then conspiracy theories? And I came across a whole bunch of definitions. I'm going to read them, and then you'll have an idea. First is a belief that an event or situation is the result of a secret plan made by powerful people. A theory that explains an event or a set of circumstances as a result of a secret plot, usually by powerful conspirators. A theory asserting that a secret of great importance is being kept from the public. A conspiracy theory is a belief that a group of people are secretly trying to harm someone or achieve something that is unlikely, far-fetched, paranoid. A theory that a particular circumstance has as its primary cause, a conspiracy, a group of people acting together for their own benefit and against the common good. So you can see there's a number of common features in here. There's a secret plot made by powerful people. It's being kept hidden from the majority of the people for their own advantage. There's often the idea of it being a global conspiracy, and that this is part of a global conspiracy. So it's more than just a small thing. Sometimes it's often a big idea, a big conspiracy. And often conspiracy theories are really about power and politics. People often, that's the theme of many conspiracy theories. It's dealing with power, politics. And people often believe conspiracy theories that fit with their political position. So if you're a liberal, you might have conspiracy theories about, the opposing party in your country, a conservative. And conservatives will often believe conspiracy theories about opposing political parties or organizations that are working against their purposes and values. And so, That's some of the definitions that I came across when it comes to conspiracy theories. I think the word theory is important at the end of the conspiracy, because what we're dealing with here is when we talk about the word theory, we're talking about something that's a speculation. That's an unproved assumption, a conjecture, something that hasn't been proven to be true. So it's a conspiracy that hasn't been proven to be actually true. You know, some conspiracy theories actually come out to be true. Eventually things come to light and people see that the theory was right, but many don't. And sometimes, you know what, we never will know what happened. Sometimes God in his providence doesn't reveal all that's going on. And many times, and this is often true with conspiracy theories, many times they can't be proven or disproven. And when you can't prove them or disprove them, they're simply in the realm of speculations. Yeah, you had a question, sir.
Would you categorize the religious or Pharisaic notion that if you were born blind or lame or handicapped, that it's because of sin in you or sin in your mother and father, like that was a widely promoted from a Pharisee religious point of view,
yeah,
or even the Sabbath, where really God's commandment, the only thing God said not to do was work, don't work. Mm-hmm. But they attached over 600 laws to keep their hand upon the people. Would
yeah.
that be in that category?
So he's asking whether, like, so the Pharisaical Sabbath rules that they added to God's rules, whether that would fit in this category, right? And whether the belief that sickness, blindness was part of God's judgment on a person? Was that part of this? I don't think so. I think that's dealing with different things. That's wrong beliefs. That's, for one thing, the idea that sickness and is God's judgment. I mean, Jesus even says that the blind man was, he was made blind for the glory of God. So it's not judgment. There's other purposes going on. Definitely, all the other thing you talked about, the Sabbath laws, I mean, that's not a conspiracy theory. That's just legalism full-blown and unleashed on God's people at that time. So, yeah, I think it's something different. Where were we? So conspiracy theories are often just simply speculation, right? They're in the realm of speculations. And so there's lots of conspiracy theories out there. There's so many that I can't tell you all of them. And there's more coming all the time. So some of the major ones, the common ones that I've come across is flat earth, that the world is really flat, chemtrails, 9/11 was an inside job, the moon landings were fake, the Illuminati conspiracy, and don't ask me about that one, the COVID vaccines, the mark of the beast, and all sorts of other ones related to the COVID vaccine and that Elvis was really a secret FBI agent who was working to spy on the Soviets and their nuclear program so that global elites could take over the world. Actually, I made up that one just to show you that you can do anything if you want to. But some of you may walk out here going, Elvis was a secret FBI agent. I didn't know this. This is amazing. Please. He was just a singer, a sinful singer, but he was just that, as far as I know. And there's more. Those are the kind of things that we're dealing with when we talk about conspiracy theories. So when you come across this, what do you do? When somebody brings a conspiracy theory to you, remember, you're assuming it's a conspiracy. We've talked about that. There's a secret plot. And when we talk about theory, it's something unproven. It's just speculation. It's just assumptions. So what do? Do we just dismiss those speculations? Well, Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent man sees evil and hides himself, but the naive goes on and are punished for it. And so I don't think we just dismiss speculations. The prudent man sees evil afar. He realizes that there's evil coming, and he responds appropriately. However, Proverbs 14:15 says, the naive believe everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. And so I think when you put those two together, you have this idea of you need to be testing thoughtfully, wisely, what you're being told, not to just believe everything you're told, not to just accept it for what that every story, every idea that comes. You know, one of the things that's interesting, if you go back in history, where you don't have 24-hour news reports, is that rumors would fly everywhere, and people would do the craziest things because there's a rumor going here and a rumor going there, and all sorts of things were believed because people just got caught up in what was being said and turned off their brain, as it were, and just went with their emotions, with the rumor, the plot, the story, whatever it was. And what we're seeing in some sense is not an absence of news, but over an abundance of news, and I think it's almost doing the same kind of things. So we want to be wise and thoughtful, discerning when it comes to the latest theories and stories about plots and evil conspiracies. How do you evaluate that? How do you evaluate a conspiracy theory or a story when you hear one? Well, as I was doing a lot of my research for this topic, I came across an article on Answers in Genesis website by a certain Patricia Engler. And she wrote a number of different articles about conspiracy theories, and I think more in the idea of critical thinking and logic. And she has an article that I thought was helpful called How to Think Through Any Conspiracy Theory. And in the article, she provides 7 checks of critical thinking in regard to conspiracy theories. And I thought it was helpful, and I'm not gonna go through all 7. I thought some were better than others, and so I want to provide you with just some of the highlights as you face. So you hear a story, someone tells you about a plot, they can tell you about a conspiracy theory. How do you respond to that? Well, the first question you can ask that person or yourself does this theory oppose the truth of Scripture? Does it deny its truth? You know, some conspiracies, some plots can simply be rejected outright because they go against the clear teaching of the Word of God. The whole conspiracy has a worldview that's opposed to the Word of God. So you need to be looking for that. I mean, we can go in, an example from the Bible is that of the conspiracy theory that the Roman soldiers promoted about the death of Christ or the resurrection of Christ, where the apostles stole his body. And there you have its clear teaching of Scripture that rejects that theory. The next question you could ask is, what is the source of the information that supports this conspiracy theory? You know, a person can, when you listen to someone, especially online, they can sound smart, they can sound persuasive, but you need to consider, where did they get their information? How did they do their research? Proverbs 18:17 says, the first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. And so, you hear somebody, it sounds good, it sounds logical, it sounds like, wow, this is great. But then you need to go step back and go, you know what? The Bible actually tells you that when you hear somebody for the first time, you hear their side of the story, it's gonna sound good to you right away. The Bible tells you that's how your heart will respond to hearing the one side of the story. That's why parents do well to interview both children in a fight. So like, yes, your brother hit you. Yes, he hit me. What happened? Well, I hit him because he hit me. Oh, okay, well now we got both spankings coming to both of you. It's not just you now, right? Right, if you're a good parent, you know how, you know, you hear one side, it sounds good, the other side, then another part of that story comes out. And then if you ask the big brother then or sister, then all the truth really comes out. I've had that too. But this is a basic thing that we need to then apply to all the things that are going on around us, all the truths all the plots, the conspiracies. So yes, this guy on the internet has this great following and he produces these amazing YouTube videos. Well, you need to then start listening to other sides of it. And do it with a view to know the truth, right? We can often be selective in that we only pick those sources of information that we like, that agree with our own predetermined or views. And then we need to ask ourselves, as we do this research, are there reliable, observable facts? Is there original source documentations? Are there reliable eyewitnesses? Was there good research done with controlled studies? We need to, again, be cautious and thoughtful because it's so easy to get our information wrong and then for people to get their information wrong, and then even if they have the right information, to misinterpret their information. Are there biases that we need to consider? People make mistakes, cut corners, they misreport or misquote, and we need to be aware of that as you ask yourself these questions about the information that's coming to me. And really, it boils down to this: do we have the right information? Do we have all the information? Are we interpreting that information correctly? Right? You can have all the right information, you can observe things rightly, but you can then misinterpret that either willfully or ignorantly. Another thing she mentions in this article is there any propaganda or exaggerations? We need to be careful about these things. We need to clarify what people mean by the words and phrases that they use. Ask clarifying questions. What did you mean when you said that? Also consider if the conspiracy appeals to your emotions rather than to logic and truth. And she writes this: conspiracy theories often harness the power of emotions relating to fear, suspicion, the hurt of betrayal, or the satisfaction of secret knowledge rather than logic. And messages which intentionally bypass our logical processing to persuade us are by definition propaganda. Again, are there exaggerations? Is there a bias that leads to wild accusations? Is there name calling? Is there a smear campaign? All those things you want to ask yourself as you consider this information. And maybe this is sort of repetition, but what part of the conspiracy theory is fact? And what part of it is just assumptions and speculations? A good question to ask is, how do you know this is true? Again, it's just because someone's observed something that's true or real doesn't mean they've correctly understood that data. Well, I have a fake example, and I say it's fake because you may go home and think it, start saying it's true. But so just imagine there's a news story that our prime minister has visited an AI robot factory. And so that's a fact, right? He's visited this robotic factory where they make these new AI robots, artificial intelligence. But then people take this fact is seen, and people assume from that, they speculate that for the reason why he's going there. Well, the reason they're saying, so here's the theory, is that he visited the factory because he wants to create an army of robots that can enforce his policies and take over other countries. And they go, so you see there's a fact there, and there's an assumption. Why has he gone there? Well, I'm assuming that he's going there because he wants to raise this robotic army. Well, you go, well, how do you know that's true? Well, you know, one time I was listening to the prime minister, and he expressed appreciation for the Star Wars movie, the Clone War. And, you know, because he did that, he obviously wants to take over the world by robots. And then you can just see how this starts to get built. You can add things to this, and so then you get this big theory that the prime minister's out to get us with, and he's getting robots ready to demolish our towns, right? Do you see where this goes? Sometimes you take a fact, you misinterpret it, you add some other things, fear begins, and those are just, a lot of this is just assumptions. Just because he liked the Star Wars movie doesn't mean he wants to do that in reality, right? You're assuming motives. It's always dangerous when you start to assume motives in each other. And we get ourselves in trouble in our marriages, in our friendships, in the life of a church, when we start to assume people's motives. We start to speculate, why did they do that? And then we assume the worst about them and go, well, they must hate me. They must be out to get me, right? And I think we need to be very careful of separating what is fact, what is assumption, what is a speculation, and what is actually real information. Did you just say that you're the 40s?
Well, no, it was many times. War of the Worlds.
Okay. Okay.
It was just a story, but people thought it was real because it was on the radio.
Yeah, well, I vaguely remember hearing about the War of the Worlds. What, you said it was in the 1940s?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. Before my time, yeah, I'm feeling really young here. Yeah, probably, yes, definitely. Well, and what about like April Fool's Day? Like how many pranks have been done even by the media and it's just fooled people completely? It just shows, again, by nature we're very gullible. And we don't like to admit that, but that's the truth. Yeah,
I was going to mention about judo. We did show great admiration for China.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically a dictatorship.
Yes, I know.
Get everything done, you know, with the time.
Yes.
So, but, you know, to stretch that and say he wants to be using artificial intelligence for is
it is. Because I made it up. He didn't actually do it either. So, all right. So really, we need to employ critical thinking skills, wisdom, to help us find out the truth. We don't want to believe lies. We don't want to just make assumptions, speculations, and we don't want to just have evil suspicions. We should want the truth. And I'm going to come back to this next time because I think this is where the crux of the matter lies, when really why I did all of this on conspiracy theories, because we want to be people of truth. We should want the truth. And when we do our research, we should want to know the truth. And if we don't have it, we shouldn't come up with explanations for what we don't have. So oftentimes, I think this could be the reason becomes this is the reason. And we need to stop that. We need to go, this could be what's going on. This might have been happening. But if I don't have real data, I don't have real facts, I need to leave it there. Put it to the side and go, I just don't know. I have some information. I don't have all the information. I don't even have maybe all the expertise. And I need to admit that and just leave it to the side and focus on that which is true, that which is noble and right and perfect. Really, let's put it like this, that conspiracy theories, and almost most of the time, are nothing more than gossip. And at worst, they're slander. And we don't tolerate gossip, and we don't tolerate slander in the church, and we shouldn't be tolerating conspiracy theories that are gossip and are slander. And if it's just unproven assumptions, then it's really just gossip, because that's what gossip is. Gossip could have partly true stuff, it could have fake stuff in there as well, but we don't tolerate it. And the Bible warns against gossip repeatedly in the Proverbs, that gossip is something we are drawn to. We like gossip. We want to hear the latest gossip. And we are told not to swallow gossip. So I have a couple minutes. I have the reason. Let me see here. I'm going to just pause that we'll leave that to the side. One of the things I've observed, and other people observe this as well, is that people don't just believe in one or two conspiracy theories. It doesn't end with just one usually. What you see when people who are obsessed or into this kind of thing is that there's multiple conspiracy theories that are embraced. And why is that? Well, I think the reason is conspiracy theories flow from a certain way of thinking, which is incorrect. There's an unbiblical mindset on certain areas, on certain aspects of truth. It's not a biblical worldview that leads to the propagation of conspiracy theories. There's an incorrect worldview with doctrinal flaws about it could be about God's sovereignty, the nature of sin, the nature of man, and the depravity of man. And so it's wrong thinking that leads people getting caught up in conspiracy theories. But I think there's also a deeper problem, and that's where I'm going to go next time as well, is that there's wrong desires. There's wrong ways of responding to these desires in the heart. There's something wrong in a person's heart that brings about a delight or an interest in conspiracy theories. So it's not enough. We're going to try to address some of the thinking that needs to be corrected, but I want to also address the heart. What is it in the heart of people that likes these kind of things, that gets caught up into this, that likes to promote this, to get involved in these kind of things? What is it, so that we can identify what it is and respond appropriately in repentance and putting on that which is good and right? So that's my next lesson, going deeper, looking at the heart behind conspiracy theories, the negative effects of believing in conspiracy theories. And what you'll find as we look at the negative effects, they're very similar to the negative effects that Paul would describe come from myths, endless genealogies, quarrels about words, and foolish controversies. And so that's what we're going to do next time. I'm going to give a little bit of time to questions. All that I have left here is just the reasons why I think conspiracy theories have come about more frequently in the last little while, and I'm going to just briefly say it's often a lack of trust in the government or media or other organizations. So it's a lack of trust and then a loss of power or loss of influence. And also social media has not helped. Anyways, I have a couple minutes. Is there any questions? Yeah, Barry, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
And also, I think with that example that you gave with Trudeau for his AI factor.
Oh, I just said the Prime Minister. I didn't say Trudeau.
More intelligent guy. That's what you might choose to know that from anyone.
So yes, the tongue. Right? We have our tongues have a great power. They have life and death is in the power of the tongue. James warns against that, definitely, and that's related to this as well, for sure. Anything else?
I just want to thank you for presenting this. Our comfort is in the truth of God's word. God's truth will come out, no matter how many stories come up, how many lost.
Yeah.
And that needs to be our comfort.
Yeah. Well, and that's good, that, you know, that God... often what you see is that foolishness, lies, like to stay in the darkness, and yet they have a hard time staying in the darkness. What I mean is they often get exposed, right? The truth can't stay in the darkness. It eventually comes to light. That's why it's hard to... We'll go over this maybe next time, but it's hard to actually keep a conspiracy secret. And it's hard for the truth not to come out sometimes. Anyway, thank you. Appreciate that. Any other questions? Oh, yeah. Peter. I can hear you, Peter. Yes, go ahead. Thanks, Peter. You know, that's part of what you're making application for next time, actually, because that's part of my lesson there. But you're very right, Peter. So I won't say anything more about that because I'll say more about it next time. Is there anyone else who has a question? Hopefully you heard Peter. I could hear him, so I figured most people could. Any other questions, comments? Okay, well, you can always talk to me or email me, that's fine. One thing, just, I know I'm like 1 minute over time, but that's okay. Just when it comes to like understanding why conspiracy theories have taken off, I talked about the lack of trust, and we've seen like our culture going down, 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 right? Their moral slide. But really what has really helped to produce these things is COVID. Because COVID destroyed trust. and COVID is complicated. You have a whole world behind all of this, that, or at least involved in this. And so COVID hasn't helped. And what I've often seen is that people have not always responded well to what happened during COVID. And what I mean is that we have a tendency to go from one ditch to another ditch, or to overcompensate or over-exaggerate something. And so that, I think, has brought about, if COVID brought our trust for government low, down, for some people it became, I just won't trust anybody anytime. And I think that's part of the problem. So anyways, I'm over time. I don't want to make any of the Sunday school teachers unhappy. So we'll pray, and then we'll see you guys next week. Father in heaven, we thank you that we just worship such a great and sovereign God. Thank you that you are in control over all this, everything. I know it's been a good even to go through some of these verses and scriptures that we've looked at, and just to see that we can trust you, that you care about us, that you protect us, that nothing will come into our lives that you haven't ordained. Help us to be wise, discerning, to be lovers of the truth, and help us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.